You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Through your faithfulness, I know you will stay faithful. You have a great mission. I protect you. I bless you with a strong protection against Satan and his followers, Lucifer, Cain, anyone else who seeks to oppose you. You will fill a new vitality and strength against them, and to use your priesthood to defend against them. I close this patriarchal blessing by assuring you that you will rise to an eternal glory, and that you will have an eternal family, and that your exaltation is assured through your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And Your Honor, I have State's Exhibit 50 ready to submit.
Very well.
Detective Duncan, when you listened to that, could you hear a female also?
Yes.
Do you know who that female was?
I'm going to object without some proper foundation.
Sustain.
Based on your investigation, did you ever hear the voices of any other individuals involved in this case?
Yes, I did.
Did you ever hear the voice of Lori Vallow?
Yes, I did.
Do you know, based on that, did you recognize the female voice within that blessing?
I believe that voice to be Lori Vallow.
In that blessing, were there certain things that stood out to you?
There was a lot. First off, the date, November 24th, that is spoken, 2019, by Chad. And the other thing that stood out was at the beginning when he mentions that Alex is part of the church of the firstborn. That stood out to me. And then is in there talking about how he had already helped us more than they could repay him.
And breaking that down a little bit, with regard to the church of the firstborn, is that affiliated with the LDS faith, to the best of your knowledge?
Judge, I'm going to object unless there's some foundation.
Sustain.
And Your Honor, if I may respond.
Go ahead.
I'm happy to lay more foundation, but I think I've already asked this officer previously on a similar objection if he looked into the LDS faith and is familiar with some of the terms used. So I think we have laid foundation for purposes of the investigation.
Judge, that's a pretty broad statement.
Well, if you'll re-ask the question, I thought you were talking about a different church. So go ahead.
Through the investigation, and are you familiar with whether or not the Church of the Firstborn is affiliated with the LDS Church?
It's my understanding that the two are not affiliated.
Is that why it caught your attention?
Yes.
Then you talked about a statement in there that the statement was made, already assisted us in ways that can never be repaid.
Correct.
And again, Chad was giving the blessing.
Correct.
And it's your belief Lori was also present for the blessing.
Yes.
And then circling back, you said one of the other things that stood out to you was the date, November 24th of 2019.
Yes.
Do you know if Alex Cox is still alive?
Alex Cox is still alive during that time, yes.
And do you know when he passed away?
December of 2019.
So just shortly after this?
Yes.
In the blessing, did you also hear reference made, you will know when it's time to move to the other side?
I did.
And that's Chad telling that to Alex?
Correct.
On November 24th of 2019, were Tylee and JJ missing?
Yes, they were.
And on November 24th of 2019, was Charles Vallow dead?
Yes.
And on November 24th of 2019, was Tammy Daybell dead?
Yes.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake.
And it is right.
Mr. Pryor, if you'd like
to
cross-examination. Back on. Thank you.
Okay. Done that twice. Not on purpose.
May I refer to you as officer? Is that okay?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you, officer. So you made mention of the fact that you familiarized yourself with the LDS faith. Is that right?
I was born and raised in the LDS faith, yes.
Okay, so maybe you can enlighten me, because this has been a learning experience for me.
It has me as well.
Okay. But you're obviously have a hand up. Is that you were at least part of that faith for a while. I don't have that. So you're familiar with the term Doctrine of Covenants.
Yes.
Okay. And in the Doctrine of Covenants, it talks about the Church of the Firstborn as part of the LDS faith. You remember that?
Well, I can't speak to the Doctrine of Covenants. I know what the Doctrine of Covenants are, but I'm...
Well, you spoke to the Doctrine of Covenants, though.
That I know what they are, yes. Well, I don't understand the content.
We're already having an issue with you talking at the same time as Mr. Pryor and vice versa. So please question and answer and don't talk over each other.
And Your Honor, I'm going to object as beyond the scope.
Overruled at this point.
Ms. Blake talked to you about the Church of the First, and you said that it wasn't part of the LDS faith. Is that right?
My understanding that the two were separate is what I said.
Okay. But the Doctrine of the Covenants talks about the Church of the Firstborn as part of the LDS faith. So where did you get your information from?
Basically, I had talked to other investigators that were part of the LDS Church, and we had heard through this investigation earlier the mention of the Church of the Firstborn.
Okay.
Not understanding what.
So you really don't know whether it's part of the LDS faith or not, the Doctrine of Covenants, even though the Doctrine of Covenants discusses Church of the Firstborn being part of it, right?
Yeah, so like I said, other than I don't, based on my knowledge, yes.
Now, I'm going to go off topic a little bit, sure. But some of the other stuff that I saw, Zaluma Pastena is talking about light and dark.
Correct.
And light and dark is part of the LDS faith too, right?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, you said you familiarized yourself with it. Did you familiarize yourself with light and dark?
Not totally, no.
What about death and death percentages and things like that? Is that part of the LDS faith?
I've never heard of that.
Okay, but you don't know whether it is or not, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then we heard about some vibrations. I heard the word vibrations a couple of times. Are you familiar with that term within the LDS faith about vibrations?
I am not.
What about being possessed by spirits and praying for their removal from your body? Have you heard about that?
I have not.
Okay. But you don't know whether any of these theories are part of the LDS faith, right?
Right.
Okay. Are you aware that in the LDS faith, that if someone is possessed, that if you pray for them, you can have them removed from their body? Are you aware of that?
I am not.
Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about the frequency with which... on a specific day where Lori Vallow texted Chad Daybell three times in the morning, right?
Yes.
And that was with Charles Vallow, right?
That was the day that Charles died, yes.
And you made a point of bringing that up, that there were three messages that day in the morning, or at least there appeared to be some communication. We really don't know what they said, though, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, when you go over the phone records, three calls in a day was not uncommon for them when I looked at the records, was it?
No.
In fact, it was frequently more than that in the morning, more than that in the evening, and more than that in the afternoon, right?
Correct.
So when you pointed out the three, I got the impression what you were trying to suggest, that because Chad texted her or communicated with her three times, that somehow links him to Charles Vallow's murder. That's not what you're suggesting, is it?
No, I didn't suggest that. I made comment that that those show up in her CDR records, but they do not show up. Those contacts do not show up in her iCloud records.
Okay, so just because there were differences, but it wasn't unusual for them to communicate several times a day at various times of the day.
Correct.
Right. After all, they were having a relationship with each other, weren't they?
My understanding, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now. Maricopa County, is that the county that you're in down there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you know the prosecutor down there?
I know many prosecutors there, but are you referring to
Alistair Adele?
Well, Mr. Pryor, he wasn't done answering.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was, Judge.
Well, go ahead.
I do know Alistair Adele, the prosecutor, but I don't know her personally, but I know who she is.
So you talked in great detail about the Charles Vallow case, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you're aware that Mr. Daybell is not criminally accused in the Charles Vallow case, right?
Correct.
You're also aware that in June 29th of 2021, the prosecuting attorney issued a statement in regards to his intent regarding Chad Daybell and the Charles Vallow case, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that was published on a, it was actually put on the web, wasn't it?
I'm not sure where it was, but okay. I know we received something as part of our case file.
Right. And you're aware of what this prosecutor, after reviewing all of the information, made a determination, right?
Correct.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. The defense counsel is clearly headed into hearsay.
Well, it's already asked and answered without a timely objection, so overruled.
Okay. So did you happen to review what the prosecuting attorney's ruling was in regards to Chad Daybell and the death of Charles Vallow?
I am not privy to the ruling or basically the discussion of why a decision is made other than the decision has been made.
But obviously, and I'm doing it again, and I'll slow down, Judge. I'm sorry. A lot in my head, and I'm trying to get it out to talk to you. That's because there's different functions. Your function is to investigate a situation, correct?
Yes.
Gather evidence.
Yes.
Make a determination through the interview of witnesses.
Correct.
And then at the conclusion of your investigation, you're to submit that information to a prosecuting attorney.
Yes.
The prosecuting attorney is not to get involved, typically, in helping you interview witnesses, right?
I don't agree 100% with that, because on all of our homicides, we do have an attorney that responds to our scenes
and
is aware of the circumstances surrounding it, because that attorney would have to speak at a hearing later on.
Okay.
So they need to know about the case.
Would they be participating in the interview of the witnesses?
No.
That's unusual, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And it's unusual to encourage or tell witnesses what they should say and not say. Would that be fair as well?
For the attorney to tell witnesses?
Yeah. How to testify, what to testify to?
Yeah.
That's unusual as well, isn't it?
Well, there is witness prep in cases, so you can actually talk about, you know, certain things. But no, I don't say it's not highly unusual.
Okay. So when we're talking about witness prep, that's a completely different thing than a prosecutor or an attorney getting involved in the actual investigation of a criminal matter, correct?
I can speak for Maricopa County.
Okay.
That they would be present during the investigation and they might have a suggestion or two, but they would stay out of it.
Right. Okay. So is there anything that would refresh your recollection in terms of what the prosecuting attorney's ruling was on June 29th of 2021 regarding Chad Daybell?
There is what's called a disposition sheet on my report that would show that, yes.
And Judge, could I approach? You don't remember exactly the wording the prosecutor used, do you?
I don't remember the exact verbiage, no.
Okay, Judge, Brother, could I?
I'm going to object to hearsay here. The answer is going to call for hearsay.
Right. I'd like to, in camera, just on a sidebar, review the exhibit proposed. All right, Mr. Pryor, you can continue.
Now, Officer, as part of a disposition and a determination by a prosecuting attorney, and this is after the police officers have done their investigation and the case is then put together and submitted to a prosecuting attorney. Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay. At that point, a prosecuting attorney makes a determination after they review all the evidence independently and make a determination as to whether or not they're going to proceed with charges against a particular defendant. Would that be fair?
That's fair.
And then in Maricopa County, how is that accomplished?
So we submit our charges to Maricopa County, the courts, and then they review the case, and then they send us back their decision. So it's, like I said, it's been in the form of a disposition form. If they're not going to charge, they would send us a disposition form. If they are going to charge, then we would attend a grand jury or go through the process or preliminary hearing, whatever it may be.
And is that disposition form public record?
I believe so.
Okay. And do you recall whether or not the disposition record that was filed in regards to Mr. Daybell and his, you know, even any potential involvement with Charles Vallow, was that public record?
If it is in the report, then that would be public record, yes.
Okay. And is that published anywhere that you're aware of?
What do you mean? Is it published?
Is it published on the internet? Is it published on any sort of media?
No, the report wouldn't be published. You'd have to request that report.
Okay. So in addition, there would also be a reason or an explanation for why they didn't prosecute. Is that correct?
Like I said, I would not be I wouldn't know that information. Other than I just get the disposition. I wouldn't understand their rationale for charging or not charging.
Okay, but they would give you some explanation in the reason on the disposition sheet, right?
Yes.
Okay. And did you receive a copy of the disposition determination by the prosecutor in regards to Chad Daybell in any potential involvement with Charles Vallow?
Yes, I did.
Did you review that?
I did, and I scanned it to the report.
Okay. And do you have an independent recollection of what the reason was that they didn't charge Chad Daybell in the Charles Vallow matter?
I do not.
Okay. Is there something that could refresh your recollection?
Sure.
Would the disposition sheet refresh your recollection?
Yes.
Judge, may I approach this witness?
You may. Well, let's have the bailiff carry that over.
Approach this witness. And let me know when you're done reviewing.
Okay.
Are you done?
Yes.
Was there a reason stated in this document as to why they would not prosecute Chad Daybell in the Charles Vallow case?
Yes.
Can you tell me what that reason is?
The reason they provided was no reasonable likelihood of conviction.
So I'm going to repeat that and make sure I said that and heard you correctly. At my age, I don't always hear clearly. No reasonable likelihood of conviction. Is that what it says?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, they're not pursuing this in any other way in the future against Chad Daybell. Is that correct?
That is never taken off the table. No.
Okay. But at this point, you don't have an active investigation against Chad Daybell, do you?
There are records that I would like to look at that other agencies have. But like I said, there's no statute of limitations on homicide. So I could always look at additional records. And if additional evidence came forward, then it could be charged.
But based on the evidence that you presented and the evidence you presented today, that was all provided to the prosecuting attorney, right?
And this is based on evidence as of 2021, yes.
Right. So it's all, they have all the current evidence, right?
I'm not sure if they have other jurisdictions' evidence. Okay. They clearly have ours.
Okay. Well, other jurisdictions' evidence, they have evidence that relating to the killing by Alex Cox and Lori Vallow of Charles Vallow, right?
Yes.
And at this point, according to this prosecutor, and that's, 3 years ago? There's no reasonable likelihood of conviction of Chad Daybell in that matter, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I could have that back, Mr. Bailiff.
Thank you.
Now, this is an unusual case because there's a lot of talk about religion.
I agree.
And Mr. Daybell, do you know how long that blessing thing went on for?
I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. Was it written? Was he reading off of something?
I wasn't there, so I got
to tell you. You didn't hear pages on the video of him turning pages or anything?
I didn't.
I thought I heard some pages turning.
I heard a garage door open.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Yes.
Well, all right. Well, you got better ears than I do. We talked about that before. You know what Chad Daybell did for a living, right?
I know he was an author. I don't know other
wrote than books.
This, yeah.
And as I was listening to that, it sounded like someone was writing a book. Would you agree with that?
Objection, Your Honor. I'm going to ask that the narrative be stricken. I think counsel can ask questions, but there's narrative being added.
I'm going to make a ruling, Mr. Pryor. So on the last question, I'll overrule that. But to the extent it does become more narrative, Ms. Blake, you can object again.
Okay. Now, you know the name's Melanie Gibb.
Yes.
Did you ever interview her?
I did.
Okay. And David Warwick?
I know the name, but I never interviewed him.
And I can represent to you that she was dating Melanie Gibb, eventually married Melanie Gibb.
So that sounds
out. Does that recall?
Sounds about right.
Okay. And then Zaluma Pastenez?
Yes.
Okay. All of these folks, members of the LDS faith?
It's my understanding, yes.
Okay. And all of them have made numerous references to some, at least what I would consider unusual beliefs.
True.
Talking about, as members of the LDS faith, they talk about vibrations. We've heard that, right?
Correct.
They talk about probationary periods.
I've heard that term, yes.
Right, and that deals with what you did in your life before in that particular faith, what your role was in life before, right?
If you say so.
I'm asking you because you don't know about that?
I don't know.
Okay, and then there's some references to God and goddesses. You've heard about that, right?
I have heard that, yes.
Okay, and in the reference to God and goddesses, are you aware that in the LDS faith that as you move forward, you become a god and a goddess in their faith?
I'm not, no.
Okay, and are you aware that in the LDS faith that when you, their god lives on a planet and then angels are brought down to communicate with us?
I'm not familiar with that, no.
Not familiar. How long were you involved in that faith?
Until I was 18.
Okay, so is it because you're not aware of it, or is it because you don't believe it was part of the faith?
No, I chose to practice a different religion.
Okay, so you're not aware. You're just telling me you don't know whether it's true or not.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And we're not trying to you agree with me. We're not trying to disparage the LDS faith, right?
No.
We're just trying to point out that the stuff they're talking about may not be something that's out of the realm of discussion within that faith, right?
I'd agree.
When you're talking about spirits and exercising spirits, such as Ned. I guess we talked about Ned, right? That wasn't with you with Ned. Never mind. But that's all of this stuff, because these folks were all actively involved in the LDS faith, these are things that came up as...
Your Honor, objection. Counsel stating facts, not in evidence. And again, this is a narrative.
Sustained.
Now, you investigated this case, and there was a time when J.J. Vallow was exclusively with Charles Vallow, and Lori Vallow wasn't involved. Do you have any recollection of when that took place?
I'm not sure the time frame on that, but I know that J.J. was with Charles in Texas, yes.
Right, and at that time, Lori Vallow, and it's in this time period, right?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be able to speak to the exact time period.
Okay. Do you know where Lori Vallow was living at that time during that 2 or 3 month period?
I don't recall.
Okay. All right. You don't have any recollection of that?
Correct.
Okay. So you're not suggesting, because Chad Daybell gave Alex Cox a patriarchal prayer, that in some way he was involved in the killing of Charles Vallow, are you?
I didn't say that, no.
Okay. And from what I understand, and please correct me, you have 18 years more experience than I do. I have zero. Giving a patriarchal prayer to someone, regardless of whether you can do it or not, is that a crime in Maricopa County?
No.
Okay. You wouldn't think that's a crime anywhere, right?
Correct.
Okay. It may not be the best religious practice. There may be other issues, but it's not a crime anywhere, right?
Correct.
And you would agree with me that just because you give someone a patriarchal prayer, a very, very long, long patriarchal prayer, that that isn't to insinuate that you've committed any kind of a crime, right?
Correct.
Okay. You knew Zalim... I'll wait. Go ahead.
You're fine. Go ahead.
I wish I had one. You know about Zaluma Pastenez?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and tell me who she is again.
So Zalima is the wife of Alex Cox and also a friend of Lori Vallow.
Okay, now the friend of Lori Vallow, do you have a recollection of when that friendship with Lori Vallow started approximately?
I do not.
Okay, but the friendship with Lori Vallow predated the marriage to Alex Cox?
Yes, it did.
And you would agree with me that the relationship between Lori Vallow and Alex Cox was close?
I would agree, yes.
Oddly close?
I don't know much about the relationship as far as the intimacy or how close it was. But I've heard it described as such, but I have no
when you say that it was it. When you say that you've heard that it was described as how, what type of adjective close?
I've just heard that other people thought they were oddly close.
Okay.
But I have no understanding of that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. I want to go back to the date of Charles Vallow's unfortunate death.
Okay.
And you talked about that Alex Cox was there and there was some sort of an altercation.
Correct. That's what was told to us.
Okay. And you got that through a 911 call or how?
So it came through obvious 911 call and then a subsequent interview with Alex Cox.
Okay. And at that point, who was present at the time? My understanding is that was Lori Vallow's house.
Yes.
She has two children. She had J.J. Vallow.
Yes.
And Tylee Ryan.
Correct.
And at that point, both of those kids were living in the house.
Yes.
And at the time of this incident, both of those kids were present.
At the time of the actual shooting?
Well, at the time of the altercation, both of them were present.
On the date in question, all four of them were present.
Right.
And, yeah, when Charles arrived.
Right. And at that point, something with Tylee and a bat?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that.
So what was explained to us through Alex Cox was there was an altercation, an argument between Lori and Charles regarding Lori taking Charles's phone from him, demanding the password to look into the phone. During that time, the argument continued. Tylee reportedly came out of her bedroom with a bat, and it was grabbed by Charles and pulled away from Tylee. It was that bat that Alex claimed that he was hit in the head with during this altercation. And then during this time, Lori had left the house with Tylee and JJ.
So Lori left the house with Tylee and JJ, and she was outside or something like that, right?
That's my understanding, yes.
Right. And at that point, Alex Cox took out a gun and, in your assessment, murdered Charles Vallow.
Yes.
Okay. And there's no indication that Mr. Daybell had any text messages or communication with Lori Vallow or Alex saying, let's kill Charles Vallow, right?
Not in those words, no.
Well, not in any words.
Correct.
So why'd you say not in those words?
Through this investigation, 2 days prior, I uncovered some messages between Lori and Melanie. I believe it was Melanie Bedreau.
Okay.
And during that time, Lori had sent Melanie a message saying to give her 5 minutes. She's trying to find out what to do.
Okay. And we don't, that's a very generic term. That doesn't really imply anything, does it?
Correct.
Okay. Now, one of the things I noted on your exhibits, you talked about, and this was on the Lori for Styles on the second page of your exhibit. It was.
Can you reference which exhibit, please, Mr. Pryor?
Judge, I don't have the number. It was the Lori for Styles. Well, maybe I do have the number.
Might be 49.
I think so, Judge. Could we hand that?
Well, so the exhibit's actually the PowerPoint. I don't mind the witness being handed a print-off version as long as we clearly state which exhibit that's coming from.
Judge, I could actually see if he can remember it because it's really actually a very short question. If I may, I Judge?
Yes.
So there was some discussion where you read off the exhibit, and this was in the Lori for Styles, where you said, it's not Ned, it's a new one.
Yes.
Okay, and that was from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox.
Correct.
So when I hear it's not Ned, and your suggestion is that Ned was someone who has possessed Charles Vallow's body, is that right?
Yes.
And what I read from that is it's a new one that's possessing Charles Vallow's body now. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, that would be a fair assessment.
And is it a fair assessment to suggest that when you're trying to extricate a spirit in the LDS faith from someone's body, you pray, and that's how you get rid of a spirit?
And once again, you're talking out of my expertise.
Okay, that's okay, and I appreciate your honesty. Then there was some discussion from Nicole Earle to Lori Vallow, and Lori Vallow talked about, she awoke in the night coughing, threw up, collapsed, and passed away. And she said, oh my gosh, I did not hear that I'm in, it's Hawaii, it's 6 a.m., So Lori Vallow on that day of 10/19/2019 at least expressed shock at the death of Tammy, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then subsequent to that, she's talking to some Melanie, and that's Melanie Gibb.
Correct.
And they had a discussion, and Lori again is acting like she's surprised.
That would have been later in the day, yes.
Right. And then there were other numerous references where you talked about the fact that Lori Vallow may not have been completely honest about things.
In what way?
Well, is it your impression that she was manipulating some of these people?
I don't know if I'd use the word manipulation.
Okay. All right. Now, I want to get to the the phone call to the funeral home?
Yes.
Okay. Now, at that point, when was that again? I'm sorry.
I'm not sure the date on that. No.
Okay.
Oh, actually, you know, I am. Sorry. That is the evening of Charles Ballow's death.
Okay. And at that point, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybill were having an affair.
Yes.
And they were involved in a relationship.
Correct.
And Chad Daybill, you know, that's not something you want someone to find out about. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, if you're involved and have a wife and then you're making phone calls. But when he first called, he used his real name, right?
Yes.
He said Chad Daybill.
Yes.
And then as it's going on, he maybe told some untruths, right?
Correct.
So if he tells people his real name when he's trying to cover up an affair, it's not the smartest thing to do to suddenly say other things when you've already told him who you are, right?
I'd agree.
Okay. All right. And that doesn't mean that he was involved in any way in the death of Charles Vallow, does it?
That phone call alone would not indicate
that. No, that's what they talked about, no likelihood of prosecution, because he made a phone call to a funeral home about that, right?
I don't think that no likelihood in prosecution was directly related to the phone call.
Okay. It was directed, actually, to all of the evidence in whole up until the 21st of this year is yeah. What it was involved, didn't it?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I want to go back, and then we're done. I promise we're done, okay? I want to go back to the parochial prayer. Did you have an occasion to look into Alex Cox's background a little bit?
I did not, no.
Okay. Were you aware that this parochial prayer was approximately 2 weeks before Alex Cox passed away?
That sounds about right, given
okay.
the date.
Yeah. And Alex Cox, his death was ruled and determined after an investigation to be natural causes.
Correct.
So there was no funny business with Alex Cox, right?
That we know of, yes.
Well, they did an independent investigation, right? Okay. Were you aware that prior to the parochial prayer that Alex had been seeking medical treatment for a number of medical maladies?
I was not.
Were you aware that Alex traveled to Mexico to get...
Chiron, actually, I'll withdraw.
Go ahead. You can continue, Mr. Pryor.
Are you aware that Alex Cox traveled to Mexico before that to seek cheap medical prescribing drugs to treat medical maladies that he was suffering from?
I am aware of that, yes.
Okay. And you were aware that because of Alex Cox's illness, that Chad Daybill, at the request of Lori Vallow, gave Alex Cox a parochial prayer?
I don't know if that's the reason why he gave it.
Okay. All right. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. That'll conclude, Ross. It's time we can have the state's redirect.
Detective Duncan, were you personally involved in anything to do as far as an investigation or responding to Alex Cox's death?
I was not.
And you indicated you were aware that he'd gone to Mexico.
I was aware that he went to Mexico. That's all that I knew.
So you don't know what he purchased down there?
I know he purchased some medication, but I don't know what.
So you don't know what medication he purchased or what he took?
No, I do not.
Did he die shortly after the trip to Mexico?
I'm not sure I don't know the exact date he went down and then relative to his death.
But you also don't know what he purchased.
Correct.
And he'd received that blessing and counsel it indicated just a couple weeks before his death. Is that correct?
So November 24th was that blessing date.
And so if you were told he died December 12th, does that sound right?
That does, yes.
So on November 24th, Chad talks to him about crossing over, about his time here being done.
Yes.
And then December 12th, he's deceased.
Correct.
When you're doing a homicide investigation, is a focal point the day of the actual killing?
Yes.
So in this case, is it fair to say that you really focused in on July 11th?
Correct.
And then ultimately, did you look at times before and after July 11th as part of your investigation?
Yes, I did.
And to be clear, I guess for the jury's benefit as well, July 11th of 2019.
That is correct.
So you were asked about these messages that were deleted from between Chad and Lori.
Yes.
Is that why you included those and focused in on them?
Absolutely.
And the content was missing?
Correct.
But they were in fact sent in close proximity to the time Charles was killed?
Yes.
And I think counsel had asked you, or you had started to answer a question from counsel about some messages between Lori and Melanie around the time of that July 11th date. Counsel cut you off.
Yes.
Could you finish what you were saying there?
Yes. As I indicated that on the 9th of July, there was some conversation or text message that Lori sent to Melanie to give her 5 minutes that she was trying to figure out what to do. At that time, she was talking to Chad Daybell on the phone.
You were also asked about a couple of assessments that you made. And one of them, counsel asked, was it your assessment that Alex murdered Charles?
Yes.
In your assessment, did he act alone?
I don't think he did, no.
You were asked a lot about what the prosecutor recommended in relation to Chad Daybell and Charles' killing.
Yes.
Was something submitted to them to review in relation to Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And you were also asked if the text messages alone made you think Chad Daybell was involved?
Correct.
And you were asked if the blessing alone made you think he was involved?
Correct.
And you were asked, I think, about some other things to say, and I think your response was not alone,
right?
That alone didn't. Counsel asked about your assessment. In your assessment, did you recommend charges for Chad Daybell?
I did.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Any
recross? Recross?
If you may, yes.
Your Honor, I would object to recross. I don't think I went outside the scope.
Oh, he went in.
If we're outside on recross, raise an objection. Otherwise, I'll permit it. But I will keep that in mind, Mr. Pryor. No new areas.
Now, you would agree with me that you don't have all the facts as it relates to Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, and Alex Cox. Is that fair?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. This goes outside the scope of any redirect.
Well, it's a very general question, so I'll overrule the objection.
Go ahead, officer.
The data in this case from every person has indicated it's voluminous. So I am sure that somewhere in there, something might have been missed. And so I can't say that I have gone through everything in regards to Chad Daybell that I would like to.
Okay. But you've made a determination that you think that Mr. Daybell is guilty, right?
I said, based on the information that I obtained and the totality of the circumstances, I recommended charges be filed.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's guilty of anything, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the prosecuting attorneys whose job is to apply the facts that you give him to what the law says made a determination otherwise, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. This was asked and answered, and it's definitely outside the scope of redirect.
Sustained.
Nothing else. Thank you.
All right. Okay, that will conclude the testimony then of Detective Duncan. Before he steps down, I did want to reiterate a limiting instruction the court's providing at times during this trial and will be provided as part of the jury instructions with the jury. So let me provide that instruction and then the witness will be concluded. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, during the course of this trial, evidence will be introduced for the purpose of showing that the defendant or an alleged co-conspirator has committed acts other than that for which the defendant is on trial. Such evidence, if believed, is not to be considered by you to prove the defendant's character or that the defendant has a disposition to commit crimes. Rather, such evidence may be considered by you only for the limited purpose of proving the defendant's motive, opportunity, intent, plan, or absence of mistake or accident. So that's the court's instruction. Again, it will be provided as part of your instruction packet as well when you deliberate. That concludes then Detective Duncan's testimony. You may go ahead and step down from the witness stand. Thank you.
Judge, is he excused?
Would he be recalled?
The state does not intend to recall Detective Duncan.
And the defense does not intend to call Detective Duncan. Thank you.
Okay. Well, on the issue of that exclusionary order, then, if Detective Duncan follows the case any further, he may be prohibited from testifying if he is recalled for any reason. So, thank you. All right, counsel, I wanted to continue on to 3:30 if we could today. Does the state have another witness they'd like to start with, or do you want to discuss scheduling?
Your Honor, the state would call Mark, sorry.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get another witness going, and again, we'll conclude today at 3:30.
solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Wilson, just speak closer to the mic, and you have water there.
All right, before we get started, what is your preferred title? Is it officer or agent or some other title?
Special agent is fine.
Special agent. All right, Special Agent, before you testify, let me just ask, now that you're under oath, have you reviewed any of the previous testimony offered in this case?
No, I have not.
Right, so you haven't observed any on the court's live stream?
No.
All right, Mr. Wood, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you. Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Mark Sarvi. It's S-A-A-R-I.
What is your occupation?
I'm a special agent with Social Security Administration, Office of the Inspector General.
Right. And how long have you been doing that?
Approximately 5 years.
Tell us about that. What do you do as a special agent?
So I investigate allegations of fraud, waste, and abuse within Social Security Administration.
And how does one become qualified to do that?
So I was a prior deputy U.S. Marshal for approximately 13 years. I have completed the criminal investigator training program at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia.
How did you become involved in the investigation regarding Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow?
So in or about January of 2020, the FBI out of Phoenix, Arizona, contacted our office and to locate the whereabouts of J.J. as well as Tylee Ryan.
So you were referred to it by the FBI?
Correct.
And I'm sorry, when did you say that was?
In or about January of 2020.
What was the purpose of your investigation?
To determine if the whereabouts of the children were to be located, as well as if there was any kind of Social Security fraud involved.
What did you do in furtherance of your investigation?
So I met with local law enforcement, met with the FBI, as well as had several subpoenas issued as well.
I want to talk to you about Tylee Ryan. Did Tylee Ryan receive Social Security benefits?
She did.
Why did she receive Social Security benefits?
She received survivor benefits based upon her father, Joe Ryan, who died in April, on April 3rd, 2018.
And how much did she receive a month?
Approximately $18.59 per month.
Where she was a minor child, was there a guardian or someone who represented her in those payments?
Yes.
Is there a name for that individual?
Lori Vallow.
And is there a specific, is it fair to call her a representative payee?
Correct.
Right. As part of your investigation, did you look into what bank accounts Tylee Ryan received these Social Security benefits?
Yes, I did.
Do you know what bank account she received those benefits in?
It was to a J.P. Morgan Chase account.
And do you know if, where she was a minor, was her mother also on that account?
I believe she was, yes.
Did the bank account she received payments into ever change?
Yes.
What did it change to?
To a BBVA account.
And do you know when that happened?
On or about August 20th of 2019.
Would there have been a notice regarding that change mailed to the representative payee or Tylee?
Yes.
And through your would that have been an automatically generated notice?
Yes, correct.
And in your investigation, have you uncovered such a document?
I have.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 114A.
Yes.
And you can save a trip. He's already had provided me a copy, and I'm no objection, Judge.
All right, I'll quickly look.
And Your Honor, I just realized I did not provide courtesy copies to the court earlier as well.
Okay, right. And I'll just take a look at it as well. All right, Exhibit 114A has been offered without objection. It is admitted.
Detective, what is Exhibit 114A?
This is a notice sent by the Social Security Administration to Lori Vallow on behalf of Tylee Ryan on August 27th, 2019, notifying of the bank change that happened.
And does it state the I'm sorry, did you say what date it was sent?
The letter was sent on August 27, 2019.
All right. And this just establishes that that bank account changed.
Correct.
Did Tylee Ryan stop receiving Social Security benefits?
She did.
When was the stop date?
In or about January of 2020.
And do you know why, through your investigation, those payments stopped?
Due to her whereabouts being unknown, our agency turned off the benefits.
And are you aware of a last known sighting of Tylee Ryan?
Judge, I'm going to object. It's calling for him to make a determination based on hearsay.
The way that question's worded, I'll sustain that.
I'll retract the question.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you really quickly about J.J. Vallow. Pursuant to your investigation, did J.J. Vallow receive Social Security benefits?
Yes.
Why did J.J. Vallow start receiving Social Security benefits?
Due to his father, Charles Vallow, dying on July 11th of 2019.
And do you know how much he received?
$19.51 per month.
And do you know when those payments began?
It's in September 18th, I believe, of 2019.
Did he also have a representative payee?
He did.
Who was his representative payee?
Lori Vallow.
Okay. So the same as Tylee's?
Correct.
Do you know when J.J. Vallow, or did J.J. Vallow's payments stop?
They did.
Why did they stop?
Due to his whereabouts being unknown.
And now I want to ask you a couple questions about Lori Vallow. Did Lori Vallow receive Social Security benefits pursuant to your investigation?
Yes, she did.
What kind of benefits did she receive?
It was called mother, child, and care. So essentially, she was married to JJ's father at the time of his death. So she a benefit for taking care of JJ during that time period.
So she received payments tied to Charles Vallow's death as well?
Correct.
Essentially for being the mother to a minor child who was receiving payments?
Yes, correct.
And do you know when those payments started?
We've been the same day as JJ, so on or about September 18, 2019.
And do you know what her monthly payment was?
Approximately $19.51 per month.
Did the monthly amount she received ever change?
It did.
Do you know why?
In January 2020, I believe there was a small U.S. Treasury reclamation or money was taken away from the account based on her a debt she owed, I believe, to the U.S. Treasury.
And did her payments ever end?
They did.
Why did they end?
Due to JJ's whereabouts being unknown.
When a person receives Social Security benefits, pursuant to your knowledge as a special agent and through your investigations, if they have certain changes in circumstances, are they required to notify the Social Security Administration?
Yes, they are.
What are some of those circumstances?
If the recipient or child moves from the address, if the person dies, if the custody of the child or person changes, that kind of thing.
In fact, and are individuals who receive Social Security benefits, are they notified that they are required to give that notice to the Social Security Administration?
They are.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 114B.
There won't be an objection to that either, Judge.
Okay. I'll just briefly review that before it's admitted. Exhibit 114B is admitted.
Thank you. And may I publish that to the jury?
You may.
And, Your Honor, may the witness have another copy of that while
I'll publish. No objection, Judge.
If we have one.
I do.
I have it.
Okay. So, and to be... I don't know if it matters, Mr. Wood, but what should be published is the exhibit, not the copy.
Right. What okay. I have is the exhibit that will be published.
Okay. And then I will allow the copy to be provided for reference to the witness.
Special Agent, what is this document?
This is the copy of the reporting responsibilities that were given to Lori Vallow upon the application for J.J. Vallow.
And would that have been an automatically generated document?
Yes, correct.
And it would have been mailed to her?
Either mailed or handed to her directly. Either two of those would have happened, correct?
All right. And you said this lays out the notification requirements.
It does.
What page is that on?
Page one, I believe.
It starts there?
Page five of this document, but yes.
Okay. And so what are, again, you stated before, but what are some of the requirements that require notification for a change in circumstance?
On here notes any beneficiary dies or becomes unable to handle benefits. That would be one item on this document.
And if a beneficiary moves, are they required to notify the Social Security Administration of that change?
They are.
And you stated earlier, if one of the child beneficiary dies, they're required to report that?
Yes, correct.
If a person such as Lori Vallow, who's receiving parent and care payments, if they remarry, are they required to provide that information?
They are.
Special Agent, pursuant to your investigation, did Lori Vallow ever report to the Social Security Administration that Tylee Ryan died or was missing?
No.
Did Lori Vallow ever report to the Social Security Administration that J.J. Vallow died or was missing?
No.
Did Lori Vallow ever report that Tylee and J.J. had moved from Arizona to Rexburg?
No.
Did Lori Vallow ever report to the Social Security Administration that she married Chad Daybell on November 5th, 2019?
She did not.
And did Lori Vallow ever report to the Social Security Administration that she moved to Hawaii in November or December of 2019?
She did not.
Special Agent, the funds from Social Security, before they're paid out, who do they belong to?
They belong to the U.S. Treasury, which is part of the U.S. government.
Just one moment, Your Honor. Your Honor, the state has no further questions for this witness.
Very well. I'll allow cross at this time then, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Judge.
This is the exit.
Good afternoon, Special Agent.
Good afternoon.
Now, I heard a lot about Lori Vallow. Lori Vallow didn't do this. Lori Vallow didn't do that. Lori Vallow didn't notify of the deaths or moving. Are any of these documents or is this case involved in any capacity with Chad Daybell?
No.
Chad Daybell's not on any of the documents.
Correct.
Chad Daybell is not under any obligation to report that he married anybody in particular, correct?
Correct.
And Lori Vallow is the one, if she's failing to do any of these acts, Mr. Daybell is not obligated to say anything, correct?
Sorry, repeat the question again.
Well, Lori married Chad Daybell. At that point, is Mr. Daybell obligated under the Treasury laws to report that to the Treasury Department for Lori Vallow's SSA payments?
I think if he were aware that there was a violation of what was happening with the reporting responsibilities, it would probably be a problem for him. I would agree with that, actually.
Okay.
To repeat that, if he was aware that she had responsibility to report that, and that's actually a federal violation, and he was aware that did not support that, I believe that would be a problem, actually, for our agency to investigate.
It could be a problem.
It could be, correct.
Okay. But primarily, the person who's failing to report making those representations is the one who's primarily criminally responsible. Would you agree with that?
That's probably accurate, I would say, yes.
Yeah. And it would be unusual for a spouse to report on their own spouse that, oh, by the way, they're not, they didn't report about the benefits. It's really the onerous is on the person receiving the financial assistance, right?
I would say so.
And that financial assistance was being put into Lori Vallow's independent account, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, if I'm adding this up correctly, you said Lori Vallow was getting $18.59 a month commencing when?
In or about September 18, 2019.
And was that because of a death? What was the reason for that check?
For JJ or for
Tylee?
For Tylee. That was for her father dying in 2018.
Tylee's father dying.
Correct.
Okay, so Tylee's father died and Lori Vallow. Do you know when did that come in, that check started?
For Tylee?
Yeah.
Her father died in April of 2018, so she would have applied for benefits after that date.
Okay, so he died in April of 2018. Okay, and at that point, she was getting after she applied, she was starting in September of 2018, she was getting $18.59 a month, right?
September of 2019, she was receiving $18.59 per month. Every year increases based off of COLA, so it would have been a little bit less, I believe, in the previous year to that.
Okay. And at the same time, she was also getting this mother-child care as well, right?
In regards to Tylee?
For Tylee, did she get the mother-child care?
Not true, no. It would be for JJ.
Okay. Well, I was just asking whether she did, so it...
Okay.
Okay. And then JJ started getting the Social Security payments. Is that right?
In September of 2019, correct.
Okay. As far as Tylee is concerned, the Social Security payments end when?
In January of 2020.
In January of 2020, the payments would end, right? Is that what you said?
Based upon our stopping the benefits for her, correct? Yes.
Okay. What about age? When do the benefits end as far as age?
If she turned 18, they would have stopped.
So if Tylee had turned 18 years of age, they would have stopped automatically anyway, correct?
Correct.
And at the time of Tylee's death, do you know how old she was?
I don't have the exact age for her at that time. I don't.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. And then as a result of Charles Vallow's death, JJ started receiving $19.51 a month?
Correct.
So my math is not great. We're about $3,700, $3,800 between the two kids just from Social Security benefits. Is that right, that Lori Vallow received?
Are you asking per month or what time period?
Per month.
I'd have to like add it up, but it'd be $19.51 times 2 plus $18.59 per month. So I don't have a calculator.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. The child throws another $1,900 in there as well, right?
With mother, child, and care, correct.
So 39 and 18 were north of $5,800 a month approximately, right?
I'd have to add it up, but it sounds right to me.
Okay. And that's money that she receives every month, and only because her third husband died, right?
Correct.
Her fourth husband died, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then at some point, those funds would continue until the children would reach 18 years of age. Is that fair?
They would, with one caveat. If we had sent a letter to her address in that time period and the letters were being returned to us, we would have stopped benefits immediately based off of that happening.
Okay.
So at some point, we would have probably been sending letters to the address in Arizona. We would stop benefits based on the letters probably being returned to us. So,
but I'm talking in generalities. In generalities, if nothing had changed and everything remained the very same, and it just continued on with until the children, both children, reached the age of 18, potentially she would be until Tylee turned 18. You'd be looking at almost $5,800 a month in payments for just the kids. To her, would that be fair?
Until the children aged out, I believe that'd be correct.
Okay. All right. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you, Judge.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. State have any redirect?
Your Honor, the state does not have any redirect.
All right. Is this witness intended to be recalled?
Not by the state.
Not by the defense, Judge. Thank you.
Okay. That'll conclude your testimony. Thank you for appearing. Can I have a quick counsel sidebar, please? All right. Thank you, counsel. Given the timing... court suggested maybe we break for the day before starting with the new witness and just breaking that up immediately. So is the state okay to conclude for the day? And if so, who will be taking the stand tomorrow morning?
We are good to conclude, and Chuck Pensitis will be starting in the morning.
All right. Is the defense okay if we stop now?
Yes, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, then, thank you for your attentiveness today as we break for the day. I will admonish you, please do not do anything to investigate the case, look into the case in any way. If you see it reported somewhere in the media inadvertently, please try to divert your attention from that and don't talk about the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. You'll only be able to do that once your deliberations commence with each other. So with that in mind, we will go ahead and conclude for the evening. And thank you all in attendance in the courtroom today for abiding by the court's order in relation to courtroom conduct. With that in mind, then, we're in recess until tomorrow. We'll start again at 8:30.
All right.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.